question now around football is, you know, Trevor Lawrence and the idea of him maybe going back to school. And I guess he was posed the question and he said, you never know. He's not going back to school.
Just like, pull an Eli. We just talked about it, Brian. Just pull an Eli. And if he doesn't like the team, if it's the Jets, he'd just say, just pull an Eli. Say, I'm actually not reporting there, so do something with me.
Well, here's a guy familiar with the Chargers, and I guess familiar with that situation with Eli back in the day. Longtime NFLer. Back on Overdrive here is Sean Merriman. Could you see that being a case, Sean? Could you see Trevor Lawrence? You know, let's say the Jets go 0-16, they get that first pick. Could you see Trevor Lawrence pulling an Eli or pulling a John Elway and saying, I'm not going back to school, but I'm also not going to New York, so you better deal me if you get that top pick?
I could, actually. You know, back when Eli did it, say, I believe it was, 2004, just the year before I got there, you know, I thought that was a little uncalled for because they actually had a good team there. And you know, that following year, I think they went 12-4 or something like that, too. So it was a different situation. But in Trevor Lawrence's case, why would you want to go to an organization that doesn't look like they want to do anything to help you win? Right, they're not putting all the place together, and you know, not to mention Sam Darnold, not a bad quarterback, but he's just on a bad team and he's on a bad organization. So that's just proof right there that if you're Trevor Lawrence, you make it known and you let them know. And look, they can still go and do and draft you anyway and see what you do then and try to pull your card. But if I was him, I would not go. I'm not going to go to an organization that's not going to put me in the best situation to win a football game.
Could the organization do anything from now to the end of the season to change the outlook on that or the narrative, whether it be getting rid of Gase? I don't know what they could do, but could you see them doing anything where Lawrence could say, okay, maybe I'll go now?
Yeah, for one, you would have to fire Gase. You'd have to fire Adam Gase for sure. You'd have to get him out of it. At least show any new draft player or any free agent, because that's what you got to remember too. It's not just about who you draft, it's about getting free agents, top free agents to the organization, and nobody wants to go there. You know, look how they're willing and dealing and with certain guys. I mean, Le'Veon Bell will be another one. You just didn't use the guy correctly. And Adam Gase let it be known that he wasn't his guy when he got there. So, you know, I don't care who you are. If Le'Veon Bell, you should use him and find a way to make it work for the player. You know, you come in as a coach and you haven't done anything in the NFL yet you're willing to dismantle as soon as you get there. So, Trevor Lawrence, you know, if he ever hears this, you know, don't go. You know, make a decision, and it's a business decision. It's not anything personal towards them. It's a business decision because you are the number one draft choice, and you want to go to an organization that is at least going to support or have some kind of light at the end of the tunnel that they're going to do what they need to do in order for you to win.
With longtime NFLer Sean Merriman. So Jerry Jones was doing his weekly radio hit down in Dallas, and he goes on there every week, and the host just grill him, and it's ugly, as you would expect. It's awful in Dallas right now. They just got smoked in Washington. And this was a little taste of the back and forth this morning.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line.
Overall, when these.
Where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Well, just shut up and let me answer. No.
All right, so there you go. Shut up and let me answer. No, a leadership issue is apparently not a concern for Jerry Jones, which wouldn't surprise me because that would mean he screwed up putting this whole team together. He never takes it on the chin. It's always someone else's fault. But what do you see when you watch Dallas? I mean, they're obviously a mess, and they're a drama off the field, and they're calling out their coach, and they're calling out each other. But what's your read on how this Cowboys season is going to play out here?
Yeah, you know, just looking at the games and forget about all the mishaps they're having and getting beaten, the amount of points they're letting people score on them. They're just not playing for the coaches. They're not playing for them. There's no enthusiasm there. They don't want to. You know, you have some coaches that make you run for the wall. You have some coaches that are not that great. Guys just quitting. They're not giving it their all anymore because that's the only thing you control, right? If you're playing on a bad team, the team is bad. You know, you might have a terrible secondary or you know, guys not playing well up front. But there should never be a lack of effort. Right now, that's what's going on. They have a lack of effort there, and that starts from the top. the coaches can't get a rise out of these guys. They can't get them to go out and put anything extra into it. But the second part of that is that, you know, I've got a chance and an opportunity to play on some great teams. And I'll tell you that the players ran the team. And any time that we caught somebody slacking and wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, you best believe that LaDainian Tomlinson or Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, Jamal Williams, Lorenzo Neal, somebody, you know, Nick Harwick, somebody's going to come and grab you and say, listen here, you know, you dog it on that play again, and we're going to have to come and see you in the locker room. I mean, we had that type of team where everybody was held accountable. But when you see something like this going on and it's across the board, they've already tanked it because they don't want to they just don't want to play for the coaches, and it's shown.
With Sean Merriman, longtime NFLer, Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's really a debate that hasn't been raving yet, really raging, and it might pick up with Tua getting out on the field for the first time next week. And there's obviously been focus on Joe Burrow, who's been doing great. But Justin Herbert's been lights out as well. And he is,
what an arm on that character.
Dude, he's got all the makeup, doesn't he? Like, he's got the credentials. He looks the part. He's in L.A. He looks like an L.A. guy. I mean, what's the buzz like on Herbert, and do you think he's got a shot at winning Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, but, you know, for me, I wouldn't put that on him so early. And I don't know if you've seen the press conference when Anthony Lynn came out, and I guess whoever the reporter was asked him about not praising Justin Herbert. And Coach Anthony Lynn was basically saying, hey, listen, I may be praising them behind closed doors. You don't know what the hell you're talking about, right? And I would kind of back that up and saying the same thing, because let's not crown anybody just yet. And don't get me wrong, when he was up and they were talking about the top three quarterbacks the Chargers were looking at, I put out a tweet some months ago during the offseason, around the combine time, and said, Justin Herbert, he's it. He's the future. And the talks of Phillip Rivers already leaving the organization, knew that they were trying to move on. And I said, there's no other quarterback that they have to take other than Justin Herbert, because he has all the tools to go out and win this team a championship. And I still do believe that, but I'm not going to crown anybody after, you know, a good four or five games. And we'll see. If he keeps up the pace, obviously he'll win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. But it's really about longevity and what he's going to be able to do for the next three, five-plus years. And that's what's going to be key and important.
What would you do if you're the Bears with that offense? Watching them, it looks like they're the kind of team where that, you know, whether it's Foles behind center or Trubisky, it looks like they're maybe just good enough to get to the playoffs and then get dummied in the playoffs. It seems like Foles has just attached himself to that Super Bowl win, but ultimately, I really don't know what you would do. Do you go back to Trubisky? How would you handle that situation in Chicago?
Well, whatever they do, you have to do it and stay with it, right? Because when you start to send mixed signals, and it's not easy just have a guy come in and play well, and then he's not playing well, you bench him, you put in the other guy. Whatever decision they make has to be for the rest of the season, because it's not fair to the rest of the guys on the team. It's not fair to the wide receivers. It's not fair. Don't get me wrong, they looked a bit shaky on offense, but if you find some ways to not get yourself beat on offense with that defense that they have, I mean, they can get after it. These guys get after the punt, and you can rely on them. So what the offense has to do for the rest of the season is go out and don't get the team beat. You know, don't turn the ball over. You know, give the defense a short field to play with. Start doing all the little things correctly. Mind you, I mean, look back at it. I'm not comparing these two, but the 2000 Ravens. I mean, these guys only averaged 11 to 12 points on offense and went to a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying they have that type of team, but it is possible for them to go out and average 17 to 20 points a game and win a lot of football games with that defense they have.
Always great catching up with you, Sean. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
There's Sean Merriman, longtime NFLer, three-time All-Pro. He's big into MMA as well. And next time we get him on, we might have to ask him about Habib and will he get back in the octagon and who's the best pound-for-pound all time. I guess John Jones is taking issue with people suggesting that Habib is better than him. But I'm not sure we're going to see either guy ever fight again. John Jones
got his own issues. Yeah, he's got some issues, right?
He retired, quote-unquote, also, because I guess I don't remember what the issue was with him. There's always something popping up, but I don't think this one was legal or anything. It was something to do with his contract or who he wanted to fight, and it wasn't available, so he set him out. But I would think Jones will probably fight again, and as I said yesterday, I think Habib will likely reset, regroup, and maybe it's a year from now, but likely take on a fight again as well. Just a matter of who it is.